A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, good afternoon, welcome to Red Men News. I'm Ross Challey, joined once again by Georgia Stevens to talk you through all the latest Liverpool news, injury, doom and gloom, and some positive stuff as well today, Georgia, one of which is a positive negative. Mo Salah's back in contention. Oh, come on, don't roll your eyes at me. Mo Salah's back in contention after returning a negative coronavirus test. Jurgen Klopp confirms that what I've just said. I didn't think about that sentence structure at all. Returned to training today and could feature against Atalanta. He's had a couple of weeks off. He's had a reet knees up at his brother's wedding and hopefully back in contention for Wednesday to play centre-back.
But yeah, I think as well it's a good game for him to come back into. You know, the last game we had against Atalanta was a lot easier than we thought it would be. And, you know, I'm under no impressions that they'll kind of roll over again. But it's the idea that it could have been, you know, super intense, whatever. And he's kind of gotten a semi-alright game to be eased back into kind of match fitness, match tempo. But I've got no qualms about Mo Salah's kind of fitness and things. But, you know, it might make a nice new ball-playing centre-back, bit of pace back there.
Yeah, well, it's like you say, it's equally important, the fact that, you know, we played on Sunday night, we're playing again Wednesday. You know, Salah coming back gives us that option to kind of rotate a Jota or Firmino or a Mane out, and, you know, you've still got a world-class player up there as well. And the pressure's on Atalanta as well. You know, they've got to come out and try and get some points on the board for that second place in the group stage. So, you know, I'm going to call it now. Alisson Becker ball up to Salah. A la Man United. It's happening. Let's move on to that. Oh, I've just clicked off what I was supposed to do. Jurgen Klopp, his rant, his passionate rant last night, Georgia. I don't know if you've seen this. Or anyone else who's seen this, but he proper drilled home. Poor Jeff Shreves kind of got it in the neck and kind of saying, you know, BT Sport, Sky Sports, they don't care about the fixture schedule, the fact that when those slots are decided on games, Liverpool playing Atalanta on Wednesday night, then we've got Brighton at 12:30 on Saturday. I think Solskjaer's come out and made his, I say, voice known. He didn't do it to the extent that Jurgen Klopp has done it, and he just kind of went on and kind of said, you know, if someone mentions contracts again, that's the reason they haven't changed it. He made the point that, you know, we've all adapted to what's going on in the world and, you know, in the coronavirus. We're doing this, for example, that's just us. When he was doing interviews with Jeff Shreves, Shreves has got a face mask on. It just feels like he's just reached boiling point, but he stressed home the fact that this is not a Liverpool thing. This is, you know, player welfare, which we spoke about in the Round League last week. He cares about football and footballers and the actual product of wanting to witness good football. It's not a discredit to the players that, you know, like an Origi or a Minamino aren't our first choice, but I think he's looking at the bigger picture of things of saying, stop running players into the ground. What's it going to take for you to use some common sense?
Yeah, he said there in it, you know, we'll be lucky to finish the season with 11 players at the moment, and not just those, but the whole of the top six. And I think, you know, we're not privy to probably some of the conversations that are going on behind the scenes between clubs, between broadcasters, between the Premier League itself. And I think a lot of factors are going into it. But like you said, it seems like everybody else has kind of adapted. And we've spoke about it before with broadcasters kind of not adapting to the new kind of digital age we're having to go through. And the same is to be said of the fixture schedule. Now, how much control of that's the broadcasters, how much of that's the Premier League, how much of that is, you know, FIFA, UEFA, all those sorts of big boards that we talk about, we don't know. We don't know what the split is. But when you've got a manager that's coming out and is saying that, and, you know, they're probably the ones who know the most, then, yeah, I think there'll be plenty more to come over the next few games of other managers possibly speaking out.
From a player's perspective, Georgia, as a professional football player yourself, what's the mindset of a player? Like, for example, it was presented to you of, you know, the fixture schedule that you've got. Does part of you, like a small part of you, go, oh Jesus, like that's a lot of football? Or do you think, oh right, I've got to play every game? Because I think there's pressure on these teams. We spoke about the international break and, you know, being annoyed with that. Southgate has to play his, you know, for example, England, for example, has to play his best player because there's pressure on him to qualify for the UEFA Nations, whatever. And if he doesn't, he'll lose his job. Equally, if you've been called up for international duty, you want to go and play. But also, you want to play Champions League football, you want to play Premier League football. So the demands, I think the players feel under pressure that they have to play. You know, in a situation in Liverpool now where you have to play because there's no one else.
Yeah, I think as well the important thing there is it's the pressure and it's what situation these teams are in. I imagine, you know, having three games in a week will be a lot more difficult coming towards the end of the season when you're fighting for relegation and fighting for the title. Albeit when you're on a bit of a roll, those three games, you know, is to keep that momentum going. It may be the best thing that could happen in that sense. So I think it is very, you know, case by case. It's a lot to do with pressure and it's a lot to do with what situation in, because it's just like any job. You know, if you're good at what you're doing and you're doing it well and it's somewhat easy work, then you'll be fine having to go in every day. But the minute you've got a boss breathing down your neck and you know that you've got to make these three big deadlines in a week, then things start to slip up. And I think to carry that comparison over is when you start seeing injuries, when you start seeing, you know, dips and forms and things, it is a lot of pressure and it's a lot of, you know, physical pressure that we're putting on these players again.
And one of the things that might help ease that, Georgia, ties in nicely to the next story. Jamie Carragher is back in the five subs rule. He said it's a big talking point now. He said, I think Jurgen Klopp feels like he's banging his head against the brick wall. This is obviously post that, interview last night. He said he was totally against it at the end of last season, but when you look at how many injuries there's been in the Premier League this season, the numbers are massively up. People question Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola not making three in one game, so why do they want five? I think that's a reason to not make five subs, actually. I think it's the reason to do five subs. And that's because I think Paul mentioned it on one of the shows we just recorded this morning, the fact that, you know, you don't make three subs because, you know, we saw last night, Naby Keita, someone can just drop. And then you're in danger of finishing the game with, you know, 10, 9 players, which you obviously don't want to do. And the Championship have done this last week as well, so it kind of feels like it's inevitable now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think we kind of knew this sort of stuff was going to happen. I think when we saw, I think it was the FA Cup rules that changed, that if you go into extra time, you're allowed an extra sub. And then obviously the Champions League, and now you're seeing the Championship. And I think before the kind of quote-unquote injury crisis that everybody's kind of going through, is it was very much seen as something that only the top six were pushing for, because it was this idea that they've got this huge squad depth with millions worth of players that they're going to keep rotating to like batter Burnley or something like that. But the fact is now is that squad depth doesn't really exist in most clubs now because of the kind of injuries and the rest and the rotation and the way sports science is now. It's not that it's going to be this huge advantage for a lot of clubs that I think it once was.
Yeah. Well, one thing that might help Liverpool is the next story, late fitness tests for Thiago and Jordan Henderson ahead of Wednesday's game. We'll know about more about that, you know, with the press conference coming up probably, I assume it's tomorrow. I don't know when, but we'll have it covered. Having them back is a boost, but as you mentioned there, the sports science, stuff like that, Liverpool can't fall into a trap of going, great, we've got Henderson and Thiago, throw him into this game, because you're in danger of going one step forward, two steps back. And, you know, we've seen it before with a Joel Matip or someone else, because of the pressures that we've spoken about. It feels like you've probably got to manage your squad. And because of the amount of games, it's just become harder, hasn't it?
Yeah, and that's where, you know, I think the backroom staff and everything comes into full effect, and you see how important they are more than just the squad and the manager, because with the likes of Thiago and Henderson, you're not falling into the trap of like painting these players as injury prone and that's it and that's all they're ever going to be. But the fact is they are at the moment more susceptible to injuries. They've shown that in the past with reoccurring niggles and things. And the biggest danger that we don't want now is to throw them in and they're out for a lengthier spell that, you know, we really can't afford right now.
Yeah, and one of those players who has been helpful, well, certainly yesterday, was Fabinho. I think he helped ease, obviously, defensive issues, but I think he also kind of sold the midfield as well, because if he's played as centre-back, his record is actually excellent. There's a tweet from Andrew Beasley. I think he's only conceded one goal, and I think it's about 7 or 8 games that he's kind of played at centre-back, but he's kind of saying, you know, he's very happy to be back to play 90 minutes and 3-0 win. He said he feel good, no problems. I'm happy to be back because I played the full game. Again, kind of ties into everything we've spoken about before about the importance of having those players available and those players kind of feeling good. You know, I'm sure, I don't think Fabinho would have said any different. You know, he's not going to come out and say, oh, I'm fucking knackered after that game. But the fact that, you know, as a fan, it gives me confidence. The fact that, okay, Sam, that's kind of one less thing to worry about, particularly in the centre-back position. Again, we're just on the match build-up show for Wednesday night. You think, you know, can Joe Matic play 3 games in the week? Probably not. So you're almost relying on Fabinho, who's your, you know, obviously your first choice DM. What is he? Fourth choice centre half, but who's now your first, well, arguably your first choice centre half?
Yeah, I think it's massive for everyone to feel that confidence in a centre back, whether it's, you know, a new player coming in or it's an injury and we're having to fill that slot. And there was a lot of pressure on Fabinho's shoulders as someone who doesn't play that position. And we said it worked for him as well, if there was not that much expectation. So, you know, if he has a semi-decent game, it's like he's the next kind of Virgil van Dijk. But, you know, to hear him feel fit, to hear him confident and, you know, enjoying 90 minutes, I think it's just another bit of pressure and weight off kind of fans' of shoulders and probably the side too.
Yeah, and I'm going to end up some positive news. Despite all the injuries, despite all the bodies that are spread across the floor, Liverpool are still breaking records, Georgia. Diogo Jota's goal for Liverpool came after a sequence of 30 passes since Opta had this data available from 2006-2007. This is the most in the build-up to any Premier League goal by the Reds. So we've still got stuff to kind of smile about, but that kind of... I think there's so much praise heat on Liverpool last night because of, you know, the situation, everything that's going on, the performance that we put in against, you know, an attacking creative side in Leicester City. We can still do that.
Yeah, I think it's testament to the players we had on there. And again, it's Jota, and we can't, you know, we can't skirt around the fact that he is making the side a lot better. And, you know, whether he's using this moment to kind of shine, because it is such a kind of low point for Liverpool and things because of what's going on. But I think the fact, you know, for as long as that data's been available, this is the best, like, it's no matter what, some of the greatest sides we've had in terms of play and build up the players we've had, Gerrard, Torres, you know, even Coutinho and that sort of playmaker role, and this is the game and this is the team that we've broke that record, I think is just fantastic.
Yeah, superb. Right, to some of your comments now on the broadcasters. Madison Daddy's World says, I agree with Jurgen Klopp about BT and Sky Sports, but there's no point in whinging about what every team in Europe is in the same situation. There's nothing you can do about it. TV decides. You know, it was interesting from that rant last night, George, and I said it in the show. He's not just talking about Liverpool, he's talking about everybody, you know, up and down the country, in you know, across Europe, of whatever else the demands. This isn't just a... it's not just Champions League, Premier League. This is, you know, international games, international friendlies. There's a massive Euros tournament coming up in the summer as well. Steve Barker on that as well says, I'll give it a rest, Jurgen Klopp. Champions League play twice a week all year in the state of the art training setup that we have. I get that point, but I disagree. A Championship doing it, and they've got a 5 subs rule within that as well. The standard is not the same. Most of those Championship players won't go out on international duties. Won't just play 3 weeks, 3 games, you know, in that as well. Rob Davies on that says, seems if you get European football, you're punished by only 3 subs in the Prem, who are the only league in Europe who don't have 5 subs. It's not just Jurgen Klopp, it's not just Solskjaer, it's not just Pep Guardiola pushing this. I think David Moyes mentioned it as well. And we're going to get to a point, George, where, you know, yeah, the elite list there of those four managers. I get why people got the back up about it, because it just seemed a bit elitist, doesn't it, from, you know, Pep, fucking hell, maybe not Ollie, but, you know, teams that are in Europe are whinging about it. But it needs to come from, like, a Sean Dyche do you know what I mean? Or someone's got, like, listen, like, have some common sense. These games are ridiculous. Brighton aren't going to own it. They're playing Liverpool at all on Saturday. They're going to be rubbing their hands together. But it's going to get to a point where, over the Christmas period, when you start chucking in Carabao Cup and FA Cup fixtures, it's going to happen to all those other teams as well.
Yeah, I think that'll be the turning point, is when you have the quote-unquote smaller clubs kind of step up and speak out about it, because it will inevitably affect them too. I think it is just timing at the moment, and the fact that, you know, Jurgen Klopp, people will say, it's just kind of throwing his rattles out the pram because of all the congested fixtures and the idea of, you know, you're second because of goal. All that sort of stuff is, it's not Liverpool on storming away with the Prem. So therefore, you need to find something to moan about. But the fact is, when 5 or 6, and then 7 or 8, and then before you know it, half the league are all moaning about the same thing, then it's not just elitism, and it's not just, oh, we're having a bit of a wobble and we need to blame something. It's a genuine problem.
Yeah. Final comment from Ayres of Klopp says, they are not machines. They are not cattle. They are men. Yeah. All women.
Sparta.
Yeah, just let it out. It's 2020. The point's right. You know, you can't just keep abusing these people. It's, you know, it's going to cause issues down the line. And the counter argument to that is, they get paid hundreds of thousands of pounds, but at some point it's going to affect either the quality of the football that we watch or the players and their mentality and what they do. And we're going to end things there. Can I end things on a light note? It's nearly Christmas, Georgia, isn't it?
Have you got
Christmas jumper yet?
Not yet.
Okay, well, tell you what, you can get your...
Because there's a good one that I've heard going.
Yeah, there's an advert for it as well. Christmas jumpers are out, as well as T-shirts. All our merchandise is available. If you are outside of the UK, the last day for ordering is tomorrow, to get your orders in across Europe, Ireland, America, wherever you're watching this, you need to get your orders in. You can also get 20% discount as well if you subscribe to the Club Legend level on RevNTV.com, so you can save yourself a little bit of money and watch some excellent content at the same time. Let's have a little sneak preview of those jumpers right here. Tara.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.